C'est beau. Alors R22 tout le monde, antenne Art Sport 2024. Alors et après?
Hello Kai, hello James.
Hi.
Hello. Could you both present yourselves?
Yeah, I'll let James go first.
Thanks. So I'm James Stevenson. I describe myself as an artist, writer and a runner. I'm also a lecturer and I'm the director of Femin Woods Contemporary Art in Northamptonshire.
Great. So my name is Kai. I am an artist and a curator and an academic, I suppose. Although academics will say, you're not an academic. Then artists say, you're not an artist, you're an academic. So, and I'm a retired runner, I would say. Although I've been going back to running since the pandemic.
How did you both meet?
I think it was the first run, wasn't it, Kai?
Yeah, that was 2014 when the first Run International Festival of Running was held, and that was at the Slade Research Centre in London, and that was organised by myself and Professor Alan Latham, who is a geographer at UCL, University College London, and we gathered about 50 colleagues, artists, academics, people working in the charity sectors, and also runners, just people from all walks who gathered together because we were just asking, okay, who's interested in running? We didn't know how many people would come. We thought it might be 5 people or just me and Ellen. And then 50 people turned up, including James.
The first edition of Run, Run, Run is where you both met. Can you tell us about the creation of Run, Run, Run and how it's evolved today?
Yeah, so Run, Run, Run was created when myself and also Dr. Professor Ellen Latham just thought, okay, we're really interested in running. We're both from the arts and humanities, but we're interested in running as a fitness practice, but also we are really keen to look at running not just as a fitness practice, but as a cultural process, as a creative discourse, as an arts and humanities discourse, unpacking it in all kinds of ways. And we have been talking together. In fact, Alan was my doctorate examiner, and that is how I got to know him. Before that, since 2009, I had been working in running and approaching it not as an athlete. I'm a little bit different to James, and James can tell you more about his amazing background, but I don't come in as a runner. I've never been a kind of a sporty type of person, but I am an artist and a kind of a nosy, busybody kind of artist. And I was just thinking, oh, as an artist, I'm really interested to look at running as an artistic process. But that doesn't mean that I'm looking at running as an art form as such, but I was interested in looking at running from the perspective of art. So looking at how there is art in running and how running can be brought into art. So this kind of a back and forth process. And so I started doing that quite a while back, 2009. And that was part of my PhD studies, my doctoral studies at the Slade School of Fine Art, University College London. And when I finished that, piece of work, I approached Ellen and I said, oh, shall we actually now try to do something together and see if there are more than just two of us who are interested in unpacking running a bit more. And that was how Run, Run, Run started, really. So that was just 2014, and it's been a few years, and we're very fortunate that it's since evolved into a number of different things. So we have the festival every 2 years. So it used to be called the International Festival of Running, and now it's called the Run, Run, Run Biennale, but simply because we didn't have money to do it every year, so it became a biennale. It could have become a triennale every 3 years, or it could have been every 5 years, then we call it the documenta or something. But so that was how it evolved. And now we have a network with 77 people where it's people from all walks again, some academics, some arts people, but just basically having an interest in running.
Gosh, that's huge. Can you... Sorry, I'm going to just on the. Can you tell us a bit about some of the people in the network and their and sort of their practice?
Yeah, so we have a lot of academics, and there's a group of there's quite a lot of geographers, and one thing that I like and I've heard about geographers is that they like to have a dip in everything. they like to talk about the geography of anything. So they like to kind of take on anything out there, which is to the credit of that field, that discipline. So we have a lot of geographers, and a lot of them are quite hardcore runners. They have very well-trained bodies. Ellen is one of them. There's also Professor Hayden Lorimer, who's now in Edinburgh. He's done his work in running for quite a while. He's gone on BBC Radio to talk about running in a very kind of poetic manner, talking about using running to encounter the landscapes and so on. We also have a lot of artists. We have Greg Whelan, for example, from Falmouth. So there's that, but also, and I think this is really critical, there are a lot of people who are not from this kind of background with very quite, I would say, not just well-trained bodies, or, and I would add to that, quite privileged bodies and backgrounds. There are also now increasing a lot more other types of bodies, other kinds of, other forms of understanding of running, other ways of using running. So we have also, I would call them the newer generation of people in the network. And there would be, for instance, people like Dr. Elisa Herrera Altamarina. She is from Mexico and Spain. She's younger, and she describes herself as a post-humanist and feminist, I think, or I'm describing her as a, she is a multi-hyphenate. But she is someone, for example, who comes at running from a slightly different way as a woman, and with an acute consciousness of social injustices, with an acute consciousness of, say inequalities. And I think that's quite important, because some of these discourses weren't there previously. So it's quite a mixed network. There are loads of different types of people. There are also people from the charity sector. There are people from sports councils. There are a couple of them. There are people who are urban planners who work with, there's someone with the Qatar government. There are also lots more other people who haven't necessarily stepped forward to identify themselves. So I think it's quite a mixed group, which is excellent, which also points to how diverse running can be, or how diverse running studies, if we can call it running studies as an emerging field, can be.
I'm going to... I want to ask one more question about Run, but so you mentioned the theme of the first seminar, but what have been the different themes so far and maybe future themes?
Yeah, so the 2016 theme was quite a meaty one. I think it was running as a metaphor, method, and what's the other M? Method, metaphor, and medium? Something. I can't remember, but it was another M. But basically, we were using running as a process to think about gender, to think about borders, to think about aging. So that was quite critical for that time. It was 2016, Brexit had just happened.
Yeah.
And that was also when I thought, no, surely we need to start talking about these issues around us. Surely we can't just celebrate the beauty of running as a kind of an interior process. And obviously it is that, and it is very powerful. And that's very powerful. But I just thought, surely we can we can use running to kind of include and to open up to running, to think about, to use it as a toolkit, to use it as a process to think about how we use our bodies to interact with the world around us, to interact with other bodies around us. And so the theme in 2016 was around about that, about running as a metaphor, as a medium, and as one other thing, which I can't remember. And in that year, we talked to a group from our, which was set up by a human rights lawyer, Stephanie Case. She's an ultra runner, quite well known. She set up a group in conflict areas, including Afghanistan, and it was called Free to Run. It's called Free to Run. It's still active, and it was basically set up to help to enable women and girls in conflict areas to run. And that was one of our features. We also had a group from London, and they were homeless women who don't have privileged bodies, who don't have a very trained bodies, but they were using running to socialize, to get fit, to get happy. And we're not, so they weren't concerned with timings. They weren't concerned with, they weren't concerned with, you know, taking part in marathons and that sort of thing, for example. But that was a very, important part of that year's discussion, in that we were able to think about how running can be used by different groups of people to think about the world around them. So that was 2016. 2018, we were in Paris. We were in the Paris School of Culture and Arts, if that's that's the right order of the name. And that year, the title was Dangerous Movements. And again, quite timely, with the backdrop of Brexit and also climate change and so on. So we're looking at running as a possible process to think about, the UK's place in Europe, for example, and also to think about how it differs to walking, for example. And in France, there's this rich, deep cultural tradition of walking, for example. So that was the 2018 theme. This year, we are also hoping to continue with this effort, but we have slightly modified or reframed the name, so it wouldn't be Run, Run, Run anymore, because I'm really keen to see it evolved and passed to other colleagues, so it's not just myself and other people, but a newer, younger generation of people. And we have put in a grant, we have put in a grant application. We're hoping to hear back from it. But the idea now is that it is about artists leading the discourse, and to think about running as a paradigm for social change, or to open up conversations that can create social change. So an artist leading the conversation, and we're calling it the Running Artfully Network, which has the acronym of REN, R-A-N. So that's what we're trying to do this year.
That's fantastic. Oh, wow. I'm going to come back to that, but I have a question for James. James, does being an artist and a runner influence how you run, no pun intended, Furmanwood contemporary art? And can you tell us about your interventions?
Yeah, okay. So yes, it does. I think, so I'm, in terms of my art practice, I'd say I'm interested in endurance, and one of the frequent vehicles for exploring that is running. And it helps that I've got some sort of background in running. I sometimes think that running an arts organisation is also another form of endurance. And it's useful to lean on strategies for coping from one another. You know, if you can get through this tough race, then you can do this complicated thing in another part of your life. In terms of some of the interventions, do you mean running based interventions?
Yes, or I mean maybe even more sort of maybe more generally sport and art intervention.
An early explicitly running based artwork was called A Song for Eurydice, which is it's a collaboration with a vocal sculptor called Jason Singh, and I run on a treadmill and broadcast a heart rate to Jason, and he creates a sonic score, and the tempo is set by my heart rate. But the interesting thing is that it's a circular relationship. So I don't know what sounds he's going to create, but they seem to have some effect on me while I'm running. I wish I had him the whole time, because I feel like I've got an extra layer of fitness. We compose a sort of plan for the run or the composition, and it never quite works out because he doesn't know how fast I'm going to run. I don't know what his sounds are going to do to me. I like the idea. It's an exchange with the same oxygen in the room. A more recent, again, quite an explicit running-based work is it's called The Only Running Footman, which was I essentially dressed as an 18th century running footman to deliver messages. So I was running around the countryside dressed in blue velvet with a feather in my hat, kind of modelling original message delivery, I suppose. I think that's interesting because that one is. Do you know the book or the article "What is Sport" by Roland Barthes?
Yes.
So it talks about sport as a spectacle, and it's a shared experience. Mm. Well, my interest primarily is my own experience, and I'm interested in endurance because it feels like. So another Barthes text is Death of the Author. So by exploring endurance, I kind of prolong my part of the engagement with the artwork before I hand it over to an audience to do whatever with. The piece, the running footman piece, is a little bit different to that because, yes, I'm running, but it's quite spectacle based. Essentially, I'm interested in the kind of internal mechanism to running, and then hopefully that if I do something or experience something meaningful, then that somehow will translate to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Did running or art come first, or has it just always been together for you?
I don't know which one came first, but they weren't always together, whereas now I'm more comfortable doing that. And it's, I think quite a lot of artists don't realise what they do until afterwards. And then it's really obvious. Like, well, why didn't I think of this before? So as far as I can remember, I've always run. And I've always, whichever form made art, even as a child. But it was only relatively recently that I saw the two as similar or the same, that was a sort of revelation that happened during an endurance workshop where participants were you had to sort of undergo some difficult conditions and change your it's a little bit like Marina Abramovich is cleaning the house workshops, but some mm-hmm. of the activity involved running, and suddenly I thought, I do this, I know this. And it seemed really obvious that my some of my technique, my craft had been honed in running as opposed to anything else, or as well as other things.
Amazing. That's a very specific moment that you can pinpoint. And for you, Lisa, did you establish yourself as an artist or an academic first? Has this always been connected for you?
Do you mean me?
Yes.
I'm Kai, not Lisa.
Sorry.
I was thinking, is Lisa here?
No, but I did ask the same question to Lisa.
yeah, no, that's fine. I'm an artist. I think that is my key identity in anything that I do, in whatever shape or form, even if they are outside of the art world or the art sector. I think the fundamental kind of shaping of what I do and how I do things would come from the arts. In teaching, in running, in curating, in doing, I do a lot of pro bono work, a lot of volunteering, and a lot of my current research is around the notion of infiltrating the non-art world, which is life, through artful ways. Artfulness is a term that I'm kind of experimenting with these days. So earlier I talked about running artfully, and another kind of strand to that is the idea of artful agitation. And answering your question, yes, I would identify myself as an artist, and I am in academia kind of by accident, in a way. Obviously by design, but also not like, where am I? I'm in academia. No, it's not that. It's quite a common route for a lot of practicing artists to have a parallel career in teaching. One of the key things about my work is that I love slipping through crevices, slipping between boundaries. And I think this is when running comes back as quite a nice sort of metaphor, or a process as well. It is this idea of, you know, running across, trespassing boundaries, trespassing existing ideas of what things are, existing disciplines, existing barriers and walls. And I like very much what James is doing with his footmen, with Foot Messenger. That I love the whole, I've worked with James a lot, and I think I really like this body of work. And we have been talking about different possibilities, so maybe James can talk more, but I'm really interested in the figure of the Foot Messenger and this idea of this person on the ground. And of course, this is a historical backdrop in that foot messengers have been around for so long, hundreds and hundreds of years, before you had FedEx, before you had your postman or postwoman. And we talk about Pheidippides, the mythical foot messengers. And this idea of running on the ground, passing messages, listening to gossip, transferring gossip, transferring news. And historically, this person having immunity as they cross boundaries, as they pass these messages, because they are deemed to be so important. Yeah. And I also like how, and this is in a book by Saul Gottas, I can't remember what the title is, it's really simple, it's something about running, history of running maybe. And he talks about how these foot messengers historically would not just have political immunity, but they would use running as a means to get out of poverty. So essentially, it was also a social mobility means, a means for social mobility. So I just think that it's such a powerful metaphor in so many ways. And in my recent conversations with James, we talk about the notion of the foot messenger and the running foot messenger specifically as a kind of a key worker, as a kind of an essential worker. So in the UK, we are talking about key workers, essential workers, so people working on the front line to fight against the ill impact, the bad impact of the pandemic. So we're talking about nurses, we're talking about people working in supermarkets and so on. But James and I we were talking about the possibility of thinking about the running foot messenger as a kind of a key worker, if they are able to also, during lockdown, during the pandemic, to pass food parcels, to pass essential messages, to pass around or to transfer important information. So this is something we were talking about. Have I misrepresented anything?
No, I think that's accurate. I think it's maybe important to say that that's also a moment when, so that idea came from the sort of value of physical contact.
Yeah.
At a time when we are increasingly, like we are now, communicating online.
Yeah.
And sort of distinguishing the two.
Mm. Yeah. Can I ask what, in the sort of pre-COVID, what kind of messages would you bring?
Well, the original iteration of the performance was actually a wedding gift, and a friend was getting married and said they didn't want any possessions bought for them, but they wanted to share an experience. And that interests me because, as I said before, I'm interested in my personal experience through running, but then how that's communicated. And this particular friend was probably not going to come running with me, so I try and think of ways to share that experience. And presented him this idea that I would deliver a message for her. In the end, I think it was a birthday card. You know, so it was almost the act was more important than the message in some respects. So it could be something completely trivial, or it could be, you know, it could be shopping or medicine or just communication with the outside world.
Yeah. No, it's a really, really lovely idea. And
but James has to wear his costume. You should see him in that kit. And I hope the radio listeners can have an opportunity to see that.
Do you think you could send us a photo?
Part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be great. Well, we will definitely, if you have one.
Yeah. I'm surprised Kai hasn't shared it with you already. She likes to use that as a sort of poster image. I mean, looking at it for me, but...
Yeah, he was our poster boy for the last Run, Run, Run Biennale.
No, but I think that's exactly it. You know, sort of a form of kind of social change. I know, I mean, I don't know if you're very familiar with this term that we've kind of coined, but art sport. And definitely in the work we do here in Saint-Denis, it's a space for reflection on society, and it kind of enables these two forms kind of coming together, create a space for thinking about things a bit differently and not taking things so seriously potentially as well. But I don't know I think you do agree, but it's a really, really wonderful project. I'm going to move on to. Were you involved, either of you, in the London 2012 Cultural Olympiad?
I was involved, but not. But that was before Run, 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 and I was involved as another character of mine. But I didn't have fancy costumes like James, unfortunately. And I called myself Kaidi. Haha. Like, what a great distinction. So my name is Kai and then my character was called Kaidi. But that was, so I was involved in the 2012 in that I was a London ambassador, and this was basically a role where you worked for the Greater London Authority, and you, when I say worked, you're a volunteer, you don't get paid, but you sign up for it because you think that it could be interesting. And I signed up as my character, and the character was part of my PhD project at that time, which was the one I mentioned about writing about running. But part of that, a huge part of that, was about learning how to run. And as I mentioned, I don't come from an athletic background. If anything, I really disliked running when I was in school. But I framed my project as a durational performance. So I framed it as a 1,000-day run where I taught myself how to run. So I picked up running again, and that led me to a few marathons and a few half marathons in the end. But as part of that process, I also signed up to do various things, and one of them was the 2012 London Olympics, and I was an ambassador as a part of that. But I wasn't involved in the Olympiad at that point. I don't know if James was.
So I wasn't directly in terms of, I wasn't commissioned. However, the firm was Contemporary Art. We worked on some cultural activity which was part of that. So I guess in hindsight, the art and sport were both on the same page for me earlier. Also as a citizen, thinking about things like, you know, as well as being an artist, running an arts organisation, I'm aware of the challenge people might bring about funding art, and I think it's the same with sport. So when you have something like the Olympics, suddenly it's a celebration of both. I think the sort of opening ceremony can be sort of vindication of that.
Yeah. Are you able to continue your activity with Feminwood right now?
Yeah, very much so. So we've, like lots of places, moved a lot of things online, and I'm hoping we can resume some physical activity very shortly, possibly this month or next month. So yes, we're by nature a peripatetic organisation, so we perhaps haven't struggled as much as people who are in a fixed location all the time.
And a question to both of you, because where so Kai, you said you started running in the lockdown, but where do you both run these days?
So I've gone back to running because the swimming pools are closed. I also have a huge body of work around swimming, by the way. But not in the same way as Lisa Stansby. My work was, I had a body of film called Chlorine Addiction, because I'm actually addicted to chlorine. I just love the smell, and I love how it forms a layer all across your body, and you can't get rid of that smell. So I actually love that, and I miss that. So I can't do that during the lockdown. I can't go swimming. So what I've been doing is to go back to running, and I live in the middle of the city. I migrated up here to Manchester from London, and it has been quite nice in that, because now I run without care for time, or not that I ever did well in my timing in the first place, but I just basically run around, and because it's lockdown, nobody's around. Nobody's watching you.
Empty, yeah.
So nobody can see how stupid I look, which is great. So but having said that, I mean, this weekend in the UK we are opening up again, so I'm quite kind of anxious around that. Maybe I should go out running at 4 a.m. when no one can see me. I run around my neighborhood, and I love the fact that I'm in the middle of everything, even if I don't necessarily engage or look like I'm engaging socially with it directly. But I just love that kind of noise, the visual noise, and the maybe not so much the actual kind of oral noise, but I like the sort of, I like to be able to be around everything, buildings, dirt lanes or whatever. I really like that. So I've been just using running to learn about the city because I am new to Manchester, just moved up here a few months back. So the lockdown has enabled me to be to learn about the city, really, to learn about my neighborhood, to learn about how it works and so on.
And you, James?
I mean, historically, I started off sprinting for about 10 years and then more recently discovered endurance running, which I think probably suits my character a little bit more. So I prefer, unlike Kai, I prefer to run in a natural space. I don't really, I like to run on my own more often than not, and really kind of focus on my own experience. But I also really enjoy, I might run somewhere and I might see a herd of deer or a fox or something like that. I was training for an event which has now been cancelled at the end of this year. It's been postponed to the following year, so in theory I'm training for it still. I always find it really helpful to have a goal each year. If I didn't, I would still be running, but it just feels useful to have a kind of a benchmark to aim for.
Yeah. I'm looking at my questions and I realised there's something it's a roundabout. Unlimited was a festival that was within the Cultural Olympiad, and I spotted, Kai, that you were involved in a project that was part of the Unlimited commissions, so new work by disabled artists.
Yeah, so my work was not part of the 2012. So I had a commission by Unlimited 2017. Yeah. And that work wasn't explicitly about running in a sense, but it is also completely about running in that it is about the restless mind. So in a way, one way that I sum up my work is that it is about the restless body and mind, so the body and mind in motion as a form of interrogation and intervention in the world around us and the world that is also in motion and commotion. And that work was funded by Unlimited, and that work was called Magic Carpet, but it has a long title. All my works have a very long title. But that work was around the restless mind, and it was about mind wandering, and it was in collaboration with a psychiatrist. And so that was about how the mind is always moving and always running around and always thinking of more than one thing at any one time. And that's related to how I've been told that I have officially and medically quite a hyperactive mind. And so that was 2-3 years ago now. And in some of my recent work, I'm finding the two strands, although they aren't that distinct, but I'm finding that body of work, Magic Carpet and around the restless mind, colliding with my work with running, which is about the restless body and also often about the mind, because when you're running, and especially in very long distances in an endurance way, your mind is just free to do all that thinking and all that processing. In fact, I wrote my PhD while running because I was able to just disentangle a lot of the issues that I just couldn't disentangle when I'm sitting down in front of the computer. And so in some ways, some of my current work, I'm able to bring the two strands together.
What is next for the Footman project? Is there a next step?
next step. Sorry.
Maybe. There's certainly there'll be future running based performances, whatever, whether it's running footman or something new, I'm not sure. But I think there's still, it's a bit of a pun for me now, but there's still mileage in that performance. I'm interested in exploring this idea of some kind of status of the runner or the messenger. I think that's really interesting at the current moment.
I really like, James, what you were saying about
Go on, Karen.
No, sorry, I interrupted you because I thought you finished because I couldn't hear you. Sorry, go on.
I've lost train of thought, so...
Go on, Kai, and then James.
I'm really interested in hearing more, James, about what you were saying about running instead of flying, for example, instead of flying or using the train when moving from one place to the other. I'm wondering if you might be keen to talk about that.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me about that. So this is an idea which I was possibly going to do next year. I think it's probably going to take another year now because of the changing circumstances, which was essentially, at the moment I'm an external examiner for Great School of Art in Aberdeen, and we had some communication about to let them know my flights, and they would take care of that. And I felt like a huge presumption that I would fly, particularly in the current moment, flight shaming, and it just felt a little bit unnecessary. And it's an incredible route, even by train. And I thought it'd be fantastic to run it. It's about 500 miles, so it would be a big undertaking. But actually, I think it would be quite timely, and there's been people have done long distance runs for to raise awareness about climate change and things like that before, but I think this could be interesting because it, like I was saying, running helps you disentangle things that you're holding yourself. So I might get some clarity personally, but at the same time, I think it could be why would somebody dress up in blue velvet and run for 500 miles? There must be something important they're trying to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, I love to see you doing that, James. that sounds amazing. I mean, I just I love the project for so many reasons, and I really hope you can do it. It's so meaningful, not just because of the whole thing about not flying, but also the fact that this is a good amount of this is a good mileage. I mean, and this just completely, it seems to really recall the historical foot messengers where they used to run hundreds and hundreds of miles per day. So I just think it sounds fantastic, James. I can't wait.
How long do you think it will take you?
I think maybe 20 days or so. Something like a marathon day. I should be okay.
Yeah.
I think the logistics are probably as difficult as the running.
Absolutely. No, but that's the wonderful thing in some sort of, you know, in the sort of difficult situation that, you know, because it's, I think many, many people are saying, I'm never flying again now. That's it. That's me done. and thinking about life exactly at a different pace. That's wonderful. Do either of you have anything you'd like to add?
I think it's interesting, the distinction about pace and the difference between running artfully and walking artfully. So, you know, compared to flying, running is much more meandering, thoughtful. Funnily enough, the project I was working on during the Cultural Olympiad was on a canal boat for 2 weeks, and that's a very different pace. It's almost running pace for 2 weeks.
Yes.
But I think there's something different to running than there is walking. And it engages your heart more. You're more aware of your body, perhaps you are when you walk. And also, you know, this walking artists networks have existed forever, I think. And perhaps the running art Venn diagram is a smaller crossover, but it's actually not that small.
No, and we are sort of built to be runners, aren't we?
Absolutely, yeah. I like the description that art is a way of being in the world. So it's a way of investigating the world. And I think the same is true for the way. I think Robert Barthes said something like sports made to speak the human contract or something like that. But then there's a biological, it's our birthright to run.
And I think with the pandemic and all the ideas about the need to reset ourselves as individuals, reset society, reset how the art world is and how the sport and sports maybe as well. I think it's the thing about pace. I think that's quite interesting. And also the fact that we have been made to run. I mean, we're set up to run, and the fact that running was a survivalist instinct, because when we first started running 2 million years ago, it was after food. So there is a intrinsically primal and survivalist thing about running. And also studies have shown, and books have speculated, like Chris he said, it is when societies are most stressed or most struggling most, the uptake for running increases. So he was talking about 9/11, just after 9/11, just after the Great Depression and so on. So there's something in there that you can't ignore about the fact that people do turn to running, or do turn to more generally speaking, maybe about sport and to the body and to things that are quite basic. And now that we are in this kind of quite this turning point, maybe, if it is a turning point, although there will be more turning points to come, but now that we are in this turning point where we are in the middle of a pandemic that we won't get out of for a while, it is worthwhile to think about the role of the body again. And also in the face of technology, in the face of AI, artificial intelligence, in the face of, you know, like, what is the new normal that we want? And then you're thinking about pace, you know, is it a slower and more contemplative pace? Is it this other way of being that we can think about? So I don't know. I didn't have a grand, nice, neat statement to sum up that, but I just thought that James's point about pace and about the body, I think there's something in there that's really quite nice.
Exactly. No, I think that is a perfect thought to conclude on. So thank you. Thank you both.